I get somewhere. Can I get somewhere here?
We don't know.
You don't know? That was a great honest answer, Steve. No, you might be the only one that had the boldness to answer that. The man said, we don't know. You don't. Regroup. Look at Romans 3. You don't have to go far. Look at Romans 3. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Who's the law and prophets? Who represents the law and the prophets? Moses and Elijah. Who showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration? Moses and Elijah. They bared witness of the one that's come. God came and thundered the sky and said, this is my son. Hear him. Yeah? He's the love of God revealed. You can hang all the law and the prophets on this law. Love God with all you are and love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah? It's just so powerful. So watch this. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. You have to understand when Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, he's not talking about being embarrassed. He's talking about in a Judean culture that was law-driven, that he's not ashamed to declare the gospel that says a man can be saved by grace apart from his works. Every time Paul got beat, it was for believing that and preaching that. That's what they beat him for. That this whole salvation is by grace. That a man does not earn his way to God, that God paid the way to get back to him. Paul would preach that, and in a legalistic society, a religious culture, he would get beat and whipped for preaching it, and he never stopped preaching it. So he either is loco or he sees something. Be real with me. 39 stripes in history killed a lot of people. The 40 minus one whippings killed a lot of people. History says that they didn't make it through. They died before the last lash. You have that happen to you one time. And then you heal and recover. And now they're throwing you over the post and tearing your shirt again. And you know what's coming. Because you felt it before. And now they're doing it again. That's incredible when you think about it. That this man did not stop preaching, knowing that any moment they could throw him down and tear his shirt and beat him with that thing. But he was so convicted and so selfless that he just kept preaching the good news. Oh my goodness. They were going to get him a fourth time, and he pleaded citizenship, remember? Wait, I'm a Roman citizen. What? How'd you get your citizenship? I paid great money. I was born into it. And he shared and they put his shirt back on. Woo, doggy. He's stoned. He gets up and goes right back into the city where they stoned him. What is wrong with you, Paul? No, it's what's right. And I'm not going to let religion at the love of my own life quench this message of salvation that's for all men. I'm going to preach it and be a messenger of God at the cost of everything. And I'm going to write about it. I'm going to proclaim it no matter what it cost. It cost him his life. I'll give mine. And that was Paul. That's incredible. And he's preaching a gospel that says man can be saved by grace apart from his works in a culture that said there's no way. So that's why he says this. He's writing to the Romans and he's saying, listen, it's righteousness. It's apart from the law. It's being witnessed by the law and prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. There's no difference. For all have sinned. All have sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, being justified just as if we'd never sinned. Look, we've all sinned, but now we're justified just as if we never sinned freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Guys, that's incredible. Who God set forth as mercy towards our sins. Propitiation means mercy seat. The propitiation for sins by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. That's the way He sees us. That's the way He deals with sin. He says, look, I know what you've been, but I know what you're called to be. I know where you were, but I know what you're created for. And I'm going to let that be greater than what you've chose. And my love ain't failing. I'm drawing you back to me. And I'm going to put my spirit in you. And when I'm in you and you're surrendered, I know what that looks like. And that's worth paying for. See, nobody taught me that when I was a child. Nobody told me that He died to redeem that truth. They just said He died because I was a sinner. And they always implied that I'm always going to be a sinner. They made sure to tell me that. I'm always going to be a sinner. So somehow I'm a forgiven sinner that's going to somehow get to heaven because I prayed a prayer you told me to repeat. And that's what you did to me when I was a child. And you didn't tell me I could die to everything that was eating me up. You didn't tell me, not you, you didn't tell me that I could be changed, that I didn't have to be self-centered. I can actually see you and have a healthy view of you because I've seen me now clear in Him, and now I got the best view of you I've ever had. Now I don't even need you. I can finally love you. And you can't break my heart. All you can do is cheer me on, but you can't slow me down. Yeah. See, ain't nobody taught me that till I got in that book. That's why I come across like I do. Because I believe it all these years, I'm more convinced than I was the last time I seen you. Probably a little more intense even. Just, it's not my fault. I blame it all on Jesus. His forbearance, He's passed over the sins that were previously committed. I know, but you, that just works for me. I want you to see something that's astounding to me. I preach it quite a bit. You might have heard me if you watch YouTube. But if you go to Romans 4, faith preachers love this section, you know. I think it's a great section for preaching faith. But I don't hear us calling out what's really happening here. He's talking about Abraham in Romans 4. It ends triumphant. It's amazing. Look at verse 6. Let me just jump into 13 and read. Hopefully it'll make sense. For the promise that Abraham, he's talking about Abraham, would be the heir of the world was not just to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through righteousness, and that righteousness is of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise of no effect. So he's explaining something here that's probably a little complicated if you don't understand. And I think we'll be okay, though, if we just go on. We don't have to necessarily all grab this. Watch. I mean, it is important, but it's not what the focal point of why I'm teaching. Because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there's no transgression. So the law came to reveal sin, expose sin for what it was. So we all see we need a Savior and that our state was sinful. So we needed a Savior. Paul said, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thank God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, I can be free, right? Okay, so watch this. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, God's empowerment. It's not works. It's not you earning something, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but to those who are of faith, the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now he's talking about Abraham. He shifts and he explains Abraham. Now watch this. He's saying that God said to Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed. Talking about Abraham, in the presence of who Abraham believed, which is God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they were. Why? Because Abraham was past the age, Sarah was past the age, and he said, you're going to have a baby. It's coming through you, through Sarah, by me. He's like, what? And he said, yep, I'm going to call those things that be not as though they are. All right? Now look, this is Abraham's testimony in Romans 4. This is astounding to me. Who, contrary to hope, in hope, believed. So when he looked at his situation, there's no hope in his situation. But contrary to hope, in hope, he believed. Because he said, hey, God will make it possible. If God said, you know what I'm saying? Okay, you know what Paul's trying to say. He says, in hope, Contrary to hope, in hope he believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Watch, verse 19. And not being weak in faith, he didn't consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100, and the deadness of even Sarah's womb, that's a 1-2 punch. He didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. This is triumphant. Being fully convinced that he was able to fulfill what he promised. And therefore, it was accounted to Abraham as righteousness. But here's what I want to talk to you about. When I go to Genesis, I don't see none of that in Genesis. I see a man sleeping with Hagar. I see a man heeding the voice of his wife like Adam did. I see a man contrary to hope, contrary to faith. I see a man compromising. I see a man wavering. I don't even know. Like, if I didn't understand the gospel, I'm like, I don't even know how he can write that about Abraham. Because Abraham slept with Hagar and produced Ishmael. He had already had the promise. He had the promise in 15. In 17, he'd already slept with her. Now he's crying out to God that Ishmael might stand before you. He said, there ain't no way. He's the son of your flesh. It's going to be the son of promise. Stand before me and be righteous. How can he write in Romans 4 that Abraham has this testimony when Sarah said, hey, I got an idea. This ain't happening with us, Abe. I know we've been trying, bless our hearts, but we ain't pulling nothing off. Now you take Hagar over there. Hagar? You serious? She's your maidservant. I know, but you take her on as a wife and you go into her and you sleep with her and perhaps God will give you the child through her and fulfill the promise through Hagar. I don't think Abraham said, oh, I got to pray and fast about this. There was so much promiscuity in the men and in the Bible. Women had been reduced to sexual pleasure. It's still that way today. I wish we'd all see that and repent. You women were made for the image and glory of God, not to facilitate the so-called need of a man. Called to be one with us and stand beside us, not be needed by us. Oh, that's a whole nother sermon. Oh, I want to get me revved up. Oh, I've cried for women for years. I bet you Abe said, I bet you he did. I could be wrong. But I bet you he said, that's a great idea. Hagar. So how can Romans be legitimate and say that Abraham didn't compromise and didn't waver? How can it make him sound like he's the flawless example of faith? Because after God said, stand before me and be righteous, and he said, oh, that Ishmael might stand before you, he said, not a chance. He's a son of your flesh. And I'm telling you, Abe, just like I told you in chapter 15, he's going to be the son of promise, and he's coming. And Sarah's going to conceive and bring forth a son. And at that point, Abraham must have said, duh, I get it. Forgive me for Ishmael. Forgive me for doubting, forgive me for questioning. And in Romans 4, after the blood is shed, and now the blood is speaking better things, all the writer can write about Abraham is life after repentance. And it doesn't say a word about his compromise. What did Sarah do in the tent when she heard the three men that they were feeding? What'd she do? When God said that the season of life is going to come upon Sarah and she's going to conceive, what did she do?
Laughed.
And when God said, Sarah, why did you laugh? What did she say? She said, I didn't laugh. So what'd she do? Laugh and lie. In the presence of the Lord in a minute. In 1 minute of time, she laughed and lied in the face of God. And guess where Sarah is? In the patriarchs of faith in Hebrews 11. Going down in history for you and me to follow, that by faith, Sarah received strength to conceive. The last I read about that girl, she laughed and lied to God. God didn't record the laugh and the lie. Why? Because he remembers your lawless deed no more. What God remembers is Sarah's repentance. And somewhere Sarah said, oops, shouldn't have laughed. Oops, shouldn't have lied. And guess what she did? Conceived and brought forth Isaac. And all history remembers is her faith, not her compromise. That should give us all hope in how powerful this gospel is. That God doesn't see us for where we've been. God sees us for where Jesus has been. Oh. I mean, he's writing this about Abraham like he's confused, like he's deceived, like he's covering up something. It's like, that ain't the way I read it. What do you mean contrary to hope and hope against hope? Didn't waver. Yes, he did. He went into Hagar. That is wavering. It just shows you how powerful the righteousness of God is. And Abraham believed. So what did he believe? That he was forgiven. That his sin couldn't change the promise. That God was still faithful. And that everything he said would come to pass. So all of a sudden, he's back in faith, and it was accounted to him as righteousness, and he became the father of us all, and we should follow the faith of Abraham. Then in the midst of knowing, we've done things we should have never done. We've done things we've regretted. We've done things even willful. But now we see what it is and see what it really is, and we go, wow, if I knew what I know now, I wouldn't have did what I did then. Forgive me, Lord. And the righteousness that came upon Abraham comes upon us through Christ Jesus. Come on. That's so powerful to me. So why would we live in the past? Why would we wear yesterday's jacket when you got this new robe on called righteousness? You see that story? Oh, that blesses my socks off. Who, not being weak in faith, did not consider his own body. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. But that ain't what God records. Because when he repented, he's no longer guilty of yes, he did. You see how easy it is to become judgmental? You see how easy you could just look at somebody and weigh them for their actions and not their repentance? And when their repentance is legitimate, God never sees where they've been. He only sees what they've become. So when you stand before him, you'll never answer for where you've been. You'll answer for what you've believed. Whew. Ain't that a big deal? We probably ought to put that one on, guys, and rejoice. Remember Adam and Eve? They're covered with fig leaves. What a sad scenario. All of a sudden, they're self-conscious, self-focused. All they see is their parts. Now they are covered. What's the first thing God does after he says, this is going to come upon you because of what happened? What's the first thing he does when he's done addressing Adam? He takes off their fig leaves, and what's he do? He makes clothing for them and puts them on them made from animal skins. Well, we know the animals had to shed their blood to give up their skin, so we understand blood covenant, and blood covenant's always preached there, which it's not wrong. But why don't we preach righteousness there? Because watch, if God leaves their fig leaves on, all they remember is the day they missed him and threw it all away. Don't think there ain't animosity in their home. Well, I can't believe you let that snake deceive you. Well, why'd you heed me? You should have listened to God. You didn't have to follow me. Well, you're the one that was deceived. You told me that it was all good, and you ate, and I thought I was... Well, don't even yell at me. Now it's all my fault. Now you're going to blame me. Yeah? Come on. Could you picture them all? Now they're cast out of the garden. Paradise, God's delight in paradise. Now there's an angel guarding it so they can't get in. Now, could you see them trudging up over the hill and Cain and Abel's following along, just little kids? Where are we going, Dad? I don't know. Well, look at that valley down there. It's beautiful. Look, it's lush and green. There's a big angel. We ought to go down there. Well, we used to live there, but Mom made us out of house and home. I mean, it's not a good scene. You got animosity. Sorry. I just had to squeeze that in there. It just felt good. But you got to think about the effects of sin and self-centeredness. All of a sudden, there's blame shifting, your fault. A minute ago, she was flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. Now she's the one that gave me to eat. And it had to be her fault or your fault, but don't look at me. He puts fig leaves on to cover his nakedness, and God takes them off and puts on animal skins. Why? Because every day he wakes up and sees them fig leaves, all he's aware of is his mess up. And he's wearing the effects of his sin. But if he wakes up dressed in that animal skin, he has the promise of a seed who's coming. He has a God that loves him and didn't change his mind about him. A God that has prophesied by clothing him and dressing him, pointing to the day you'll be made righteous and wear something made with his own hands. I know about you. That's powerful. That he didn't even make it through Genesis 3 before he's prophesying righteousness. It's all about what you wear. Yeah. Are you with me?